This morning we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20. And as we do so, we're following our series on Advent. And as we've gone through before, first we had the prophets proclaiming that Jesus, the Messiah, would come, that there would be one who would fulfill all that God had promised, to undo the curse that Adam and Eve had brought. And so all of human history looked forward to that point. And then last week, we saw that there was an anticipation of even for a Savior to be born of the line of David. And God provided Joseph, who adopted Jesus and was of the line of David. And now Jesus was adopted into the line of David, one who would sit upon the throne of King David forever. But he was also born of the Holy Spirit to the Virgin. So he was both man and God united forever. And now we'll see that out in the hills, something else was taking place that night. Look with me at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace upon those whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, for which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known all that had been said to them, telling what had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had said. But Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising him for all that they had seen as they had been told. Christmas time gets loud, doesn't it? No matter what we try to do in this season to have a time of peace and reflection upon the incarnation of Christ, the demands of Advent and shopping and all of the things that happen, the holidays and the food and the expectations of seeing family and friends, all of this begins to create a lot of noise in our life. Noise that shouldn't be about this particular time. Even when we try to seek a peaceful life, the noise of December seems to break in. The noise of schedules and the noise of expectations, the noise of grief, if we've lost loved ones or if we have loved ones that have been missing during this time. We don't ask for this noise. This noise and this busyness just kind of comes from the culture around us, and we can't really escape it. And in all that noise, we can often miss the very focus of this season. So too does it happen in Luke chapter 2. There were ordinary men going about their ordinary night, and they didn't expect life to change suddenly and all of heaven break out in song around them. But it did. And Luke chapter 2 reminds us of something surprising, something that we should expect from God, because he did this once and he does this continually in our lives, that he breaks out into the very ordinary of our lives with a noise that actually matters. Not noise that we hear from society or what the expectations we put on ourselves or from our family or even from our church, but the noise that matters the most, the voice of the Lord speaking into our lives salvation through Jesus Christ. Heaven itself shouts into the silence of that silent night. It was not, by the way, a very quiet night. We had a young girl in Bethlehem giving birth to her first child, and I doubt it was very quiet there. But also up in the hills, not too far away, there were shouts that were taking place that echoed around the entire hillside. And men who were on that hill were changed and transformed forever. It was not noise of stress, but instead it was noise of salvation. It was not noise of demands, but instead it was noise of a Savior. It was not the noise of the earth drowning out heaven, but heaven drowning out the hopelessness of earth. All on that wonderful night, as we just read. And here's why it matters. Because the same God who broke into that night breaks into ours as well. Breaks into our lives. He still brings joy to fearful people. He still brings peace to those who are burdened, and he still gives hope to the lowly and the frightened. Those shepherds weren't special. They weren't important. They were not religious elites. They were simple folk living their ordinary lives in the dark until heaven exploded with a message that would change them forever and all of humanity. And that's where Luke wants us today. Ordinary people hearing extraordinary news. News loud enough to break through the centuries of waiting. Loud enough to break through whatever noise fills our lives right now. So let's look at the first part here. Heaven's shout of joy is what we first hear. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping their flocks by night, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Right there, there was a presence of power. This angelic being that comes down and visits these ordinary men on that night. But not only that, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory, the glory that we see in Exodus, around Mount Sinai, the glory that we see filling the tabernacle and filling the temple, that glory filled around these shepherds. And they were filled with, as it says in the scripture, massive fear. They didn't know what this meant. They didn't know who this was. All they knew was this person was powerful. Now, we're not given any description of these angels. We're not told if they had wings like we often depict them. We're not told if they have multitude of eyes or if they just appeared like men, but they were unmistakable messengers of God. This one messenger who came, their unmistakable messenger of God who is in their presence. And the doxa, the Shekinah glory, fills around them. In the Hebrew, it's kabod, and it has this sense of power to it, that the very presence of God has been made manifest in this shining glory, all of the darkness gone away, and now they're surrounded by God's presence. Right here, this is where heaven begins to shout for joy in their presence. And of course they're afraid. Of course they're shocked. But listen to the message that the angels give them. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people." The first thing he says, "Do not fear." He knew exactly where they would be. He knew exactly where they were struggling. He knew exactly how afraid they would be at this momentous moment, this moment that all of history has waited for. Good news is here, so do not fear. Rejoice. This good news is for all the people. And by using that term, for all the people, Luke uses that term, laos, in the Greek. And whenever he uses laos, he only uses that particularly speaking of the Jewish people. particularly speaking of those who have the prophets, who have the law, who have the promise of Messiah coming. This would be good news for them who have been waiting. And who were these shepherds but Jewish men that were waiting? They were watching over these sheep, and probably during that season into the March-April season. Sorry to burst your bubble. It didn't really happen in December, but in probably that March-April season, it was probably Passover lambs that they were watching over in the fields that night. And as they were watching over them in the fields, this is where Paul uses a very popular phrase. He says, the people, laos. And he uses this 84 times. Of the 140 times that this is used in the New Testament, Luke uses it 84 times. He uses it the majority of the time, speaking of those people who are the Jews. He says this, a savior is born in the city of David. In the very place that they have been expecting a savior, according to the prophets, that you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, from you will come one who is ancient, one who is from ancient times. This is where he will be. This is where the Messiah will come. And now we see, as the family is there in Bethlehem, in this very city, this is one who is in the line of now King David. They would expect that he would be born there. That wasn't probably too surprising. The angel, surprising. Where it was going to be, not so surprising. And he says that this is the Christ, the Lord. This is the anointed one, the Messiah, the Kurios, the Lord. That's what Lord is in Greek. And Kurios is one that is only used for those of royalty, those of supremacy. This word would be used for describing Caesar in the pagan world. And this word is also used for describing only God himself within the Jewish community. That this would be Messiah, the Lord, the anointed one from God, the one that they had been waiting for all of this time, and he brings with him kingship. And this sign was to confirm to them. Now, they probably imagined that this would be a man that would come already bearing an army, already bearing a sword, but here's men on the ground floor, surrounded by glory from God, by the very angel of the Lord standing before them. These ordinary men hear this proclamation that the anointed one has come, and here's the sign for them. He says, for you, here is the sign. And what is that sign? That they will be wrapped up in swaddling, this child will be wrapped up in swaddling clothes. This is often what the shepherds would do in wrapping up the newborn Passover lamb so that they wouldn't get bruised or bumped or anything, because they needed to be perfect. And then they would lay them in mangers so that they wouldn't be tussled by the other sheep. They would lay them in the feeding trough. And here was the sign that this one who is Messiah, this one who is anointed, this one who is Kurios, Lord, he is the one that will be laying like a Passover lamb in the manger, the feeding trough. This isn't an ordinary sign. This is one for them. This is the angel said, this will be a sign for you, directing this right to the shepherds. When they see this, when they see a child wrapped up like a Passover lamb laying in a manger, they know that all of this is true. Then this angel is not alone anymore in verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Let's talk about that for a moment. They were praising God. It says the heavenly host praising God and saying, and what they said was amazing. But listen to this, the present active participle of praising God and saying. They were continually saying it. It was over and over. It was in a cacophony of chorus coming from this angelic host. And that word for host means army. that angelic army, all of a sudden, they're not just there with one angelic messenger, surrounded by the glory of God, overwhelming their senses, overwhelming them in power, in glory. But now the full regalia of the army of God, the whole presence of the army of God in a multitude. How many in a multitude? Too many to count. Surrounded them, singing forth chorus of praise. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Over and over and over again. And on earth, peace among those whom he is pleased. Glory to God in the highest. This work brings forth a Savior from the line of David. This work that God has done deserves all glory. The promise of God to his people. This brings praises only to God, giving him all authority and glory. Now the angels knew the Son of the Father, Son and Holy Spirit, the one God now and forever in three persons. The Son has come. And now he was present on earth. This wonder that even the angels don't even understand or can't even peer into. And here they are, it is come. And their proclamation is one that would bring fear, I'm sure, to everyone. But their proclamation comes down to this. May there be peace. Peace among those whom he is pleased. This peace we've talked about before, this is shalom, this is a peace with God, a peace with one another. May this Prince of Peace, as he's been proclaimed in Isaiah chapter 9, may he be the one who brings forth this peace. But this peace is one where God is now pleased with certain men. It's not all mankind. It's not goodwill for all mankind. It is a particular peace for a particular people. Those people that believe in this good news. The word for pleased is eudikos in the Greek. And it's more than just goodwill. This is a peace that God is already pleased with them in the sense of the Greek. He already has pleasure in these people that he is bringing this good news to. That's for you and for me. Not just the shepherds that night, but for you and for me in Christ Jesus. This comes from the Hebrew expression, which stands for God's favored blessing. A people of his pleasure is often described in the Qumran scrolls, in the Dead Sea Scrolls. This phrase is used often. This one of bestowing favor and upon God's favor on those whom he has chosen. So I want us to consider this as we read this first part of this very familiar story. As we hear the proclamation of the angels, I want you to consider this. Heaven set the volume. I want you to consider this. Let heaven set the volume of your joy. Let heaven set the volume of your joy. It was a silent night, and yet they cut in, cranking up to 11 the volume of the joy of God in heaven, of the joy of the angels, of the joy of all of heavenly realm there with his people. But what sets the volume in your life? What sets the volume in your life of joy? Is it circumstances? Is it traditions? Is it expectations? What do you look to for the joy in your life? Do you look to the finished work of Christ? Because the finished work of Christ is truly where our joy comes from. Well, the second part happens after the angels leave, verse 15. And this is where we see that the humble's cry of praise, the humble's cry of praise, adds to the noise of this evening. The humble as they cry out in praise in this very moment. We have the angels crying ahead of them proclaiming the good news. And then we have the work of those humble men right there in the field. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Did you ever consider that these shepherds were the first ones to hear the good news of the gospel? They were the first ones. The angel said, "We bring you good news, euangelion. This is the what we call evangelism, or the good news. This is the very truth that Christ has come." And these shepherds, these low-class men, these men who are considered less trustworthy than slaves, and their testimony was equal to women. They weren't held up in court. They were believed to be those who were ceremonially unclean and often distrusted. They were on the fringe of society, and they were on the fringe of religious life. Considered unclean, they were often not welcome into the temple. And here is the irony. They were the ones raising up these Passover lambs that would be there for sacrifice, or even the normal season of lambs. But these men were excluded from this religious life. But that night, they were elevated by the Lord. That night, as the proclamation came first to the ears of humanity, it came to these lowly men who no one would even hear in their witness testimony in court. God chose them to be witnesses and to worship him that night. Those who were on the fringe, those who were now made to be witnesses to a whole society that wouldn't hear them. You see the irony? Who were the first to see Jesus raised from the dead? The women. And they wouldn't even be able to testify in court. And yet they brought forth a witness of Christ being risen from the dead. These men bring forth a testimony of there were angels, and they told us that this child would be laying in a manger. This is the Christ. But it reminds us that Christ belongs to the lowly. He belongs to the forgotten and to the humble. They were terrified that night. The angels and the glory of the Lord, they were so afraid. And they heard the good news and the declaration that all of the ages had waited for. The Messiah was here, euangelion. And the sound of heavenly chorus all around them in a moment where they were surrounded by the very manifestation of God's glorious radiance and holiness all around them. And what was their reaction once they went up to heaven? They ran to see. They hastened to see. They went with haste, it says in verse 6. Once they decided, let's go check this out, they ran. They ran to see it fulfilled. They ran to find in any place, wherever there was a manger, is there a child laying there? Then they rejoiced when what they saw was true. When all that the angels had proclaimed, there before them in flesh, was the living Messiah, the promise of Christ, the one who would overthrow, the one who would be the sacrifice, the one who would do all of these things. Did they understand that night who he was in the fullness of God's plan? Probably not. They probably thought he would be one that would raise up an army and overthrow Rome and have the kingdom here upon the earth. They couldn't comprehend that he himself would bear the sins of his people. He would be stricken by his own father, and by his chastisement, they would be set free. I often wonder, as time went on and these shepherds became old men, if they might have heard Jesus speak, if they might have seen him, or maybe believed after the resurrection. But at this point in time, they praised God. They rejoiced and they shared in what they had seen, these humble heralds. They went forth in awe and in the glory of God, and they praised him and they worshiped him. And I want you to get a hold of what was going on this night, how noisy it was. You had the whole heavenly kingdom praising God there on those hills. You had these men who now witnessed the living Christ there with Mary and Joseph, and now they're praising God. This was not a quiet night. They worshiped the Lord, not just for their experience, but in the hope of who will come, of the hope of Israel, of the hope of man, the king that would reign. And we know this because they shared this with other people. They didn't keep it to themselves. They went on and they shared these things. They proclaimed it just to even those around. And then they went further, even going back to their sheep. They were continuing to praise God. They were the first people to see the living Lord, to know the promise that Christ had come, and their joy was complete. Everything that they had been waiting for as Jewish men to finally know that God had provided the answer for Genesis 3:15, the one that would come and one day undo all the work of the adversary. Their joy and ours is not found in the circumstances of our life. The situations that seem to shift and change, we cannot find any stability in those ways. These men were working out on the fields, taking care of the stinky sheep. That's not where their joy came from. Their joy came from the message of the Lord, the message of Christ, Messiah, coming. It wasn't in a sentiment. It wasn't in a statement that would make them feel better, just like somebody giving us some sort of statement that would say, oh, hey, you know, a flippant message to say, oh, feel better. Not in a seasonal happiness and the coming and going like the weather. It wasn't any of these things. It wasn't in personal accomplishments or what they had done. It was in this. Their joy, like ours, comes from the same source. Their joy, like ours, comes from God keeping his promises. That's where our joy comes from, revealing what he had done for us, revealing it in his word, revealing it in our hearts. This is where our joy comes from, the fact that God keeps his promises. That's what we heard that night as the angels proclaimed the truth of Messiah coming. God had kept his promise, and these men rejoiced. Rejoicing in the presence given by God, his Son come to be with us, and his Holy Spirit now with us. This is the joy that we can have, to know that God himself has come down. He's condescended from heaven to come and be with us. And the presence and the peace that God establishes, not only his promises and his presence, but also his peace that he establishes, his Son's power over sin, the power over all, the power to reign over all of the earth, and the power to set us free from our own sin and darkness and to bring us into light through his satisfaction upon the cross, his payment for our sin. And God's Savior revealed Jesus' life and his death for our salvation, his servanthood and also his kingship. It was all needed for us in order for our own salvation. We could never save ourselves. And so God broke in to the world in this way and brought about great joy for you and for me. In God's mercy to the unclean. Think about this. They were forgotten. They were sinful men, just like you and me. We might feel forgotten, we might feel abandoned, but Christ is the one who remembers us. He comes for the fallen and for the forgotten. So I want you to hear the good news that leads us to seek Christ. The shepherds who ran to the Savior, be just like them. Salvation produces movement. Salvation causes us to move. It doesn't just fill us and is passive when we have this passive faith. We actively pursue what God has given us. And that's what those men did that night. They actively pursued what God had proclaimed. What God says leads us to a response. We pursue Christ in his word and in prayer, in our devotion life, in obedience to the Lord now, because his son has come and because his son reigns over us. And you know what this has all led to? Heartfelt worship of Christ was born that night. Jesus would later say to the Samaritan woman that soon those who worship the Father will worship in spirit and in truth. The truth being God's word, the spirit being in our very souls, in our very hearts. And there was a response that night from heaven of worshiping and approving that which God had done, that he had fulfilled his eternal plan and it even made manifest by his glorious presence there with them, glory shining all around like he did in the temple and the tabernacle and Mount Sinai. That is how epic this night was. And the response of heaven of true worship had begun. The angels knew that this was the eternal covenant of God in his grace, in his redemption being played out, and they rejoiced. And now for us, we can now join with the angels in praising. And praising God for the Lamb, and praising God for the King of Heaven, and praising God for Jesus Christ, for the moment was right that night. God and man were reconciled, and the work of God was revealed in flesh, and heaven rejoiced. And then the response of earth came from these humble men. These men who rejoiced in the salvation that God had finally brought the Messiah and he had come in the flesh. These shepherds didn't know who he was going to be. They didn't know that he was going to be the lamb that would be slain. They didn't realize that he would be such a servant that would bear all of our sorrows and sin upon the cross and be set us free and then rise again. They didn't know all that, but they knew he was going to be a king. They knew he was the anointed one. They knew he was the promised one of heaven. And so they held fast to that promise that echoes back to Genesis 3:15. We know he came in the line of kings and was our sacrificial substitute. We know that our hearts are now directed towards Jesus in worship because of what he has done, because he seeks those who are humble, who are broken in heart, those who realize their sin and truly confess it to him. Those are the ones that he is seeking to save, not the righteous, but the lowly and the forgotten. Here upon earth, the humble man praised God. And then there was a joining of heaven and earth together in Christ Jesus. That night, it was not just the angels who had come down, and it was not just the shepherds who had seen and heard, but it was Jesus Christ, the one who had been born. Not just the praises of the angels and shepherds, but in the person of Jesus Christ, God and man made forever. This is how heaven and earth joined truly that night. This is the greatest joy and the greatest source for this entire season, which will bring us peace in this time and quiet the noise of the world with the noise of heaven that fills our hearts with joy and peace. The army of heaven praised because God's plan had been unfolded. The army of heaven praised because God's plan was unfolding. The lowest of men praised because God's promise had reached them. And now we now join in the praise because God has brought us peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. The same Savior announced in the field of Bethlehem is the Savior who still now meets with the lowly, with the weary, with the forgotten. The joy they found is the joy offered to you, the joy rooted not in the circumstances of your life, but rooted in Christ Jesus. So, as this season grows noisy all around you, listen instead to the noise that matters. Heaven's announcement, earth's response, and Christ at the center. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let us go out like the shepherds, having seen Christ, glorified God, and carrying his joy wherever we go, being his witnesses. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time in your word. Thank you for your noise that overwhelms the noise of this world, your joyfulness of the proclamation of your Son, giving us the understanding that that night worship of Christ has begun, and we, 2,000 years later, join in the chorus with the angels of heaven and with the lowly shepherds on the field. And we praise you, Lord God, through Jesus Christ, who has brought man and God and made us reconciled. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.